Welcome back to I Want That Too, the go-to podcast when it comes to Disney merch. I'm entertainer writer Jim Hill, and with me today is my lovely co-host, Lauren Hersey, and she and I are recording this week's show on Sunday, March 17th. So, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Lauren.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you, sir. Mm-hmm. Are you, do you have any Irish in you? I have to ask.
Well, you know, I mean, given my pasty complexion, that's a good educated guess. And to be honest, my dad for years insisted that my family had very strong roots that you know, could positively be traced back to Ireland. And for that matter, he and my mom made several trips over there after they retired. And my mother, to this day, displays proudly the picture she had taken of her hanging upside down to kiss the Blarney Stone. You ever seen anybody in picture doing that?
Yeah. That's interesting, and no. So I have worked with you long enough to say there's probably a twist coming to the story. So spill it.
Okay, well, you're not wrong. My brother Bob, a year or so back, did 23andMe, and it turns out that the Hills are not, in fact, Irish. We are, in fact, like 70 or 80% Scottish. So,
which really, that's, I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, Ireland, Scotland, they're both part of the British Isles, right?
All true. All true, but my dad, toward the end of his life, really leaned into being Irish. You know, he had the Irish walking stick, his scaly cap, his cable knit sweaters, and, you know, just didn't have the heart to tell him, Dad, you need to trade all that stuff in for a kilt. So,
in a pair of spats and a top hat, if you're going for the, like, Scrooge McDuck look, right?
Oh, so funny you bring up Scrooge McDuck. Just yesterday, Nancy and I were down in Hartford attending 90s Con. Now, this 3-day-long event was held at the Connecticut Convention Center, and as we entered the hall, they were blasting the DuckTales theme song.
Ooh, DuckTales, ooh.
There we go.
So, yep. This was a convention celebrating all things 90s. There had to have been a ton of amazing merch.
Well, yeah, but what was interesting, I noticed a lot of lounge fly. Is that how we pronounce it?
Lounge fly. Everybody in my circle says lounge fly.
Lounge fly. Okay. For example, there was this especially cute Big Hero 6 mini backpack that had Baymax cradling Mochi. That's the furry baby cat from that film.
Was there anything else Disney related going on at 90s Con? Like, I don't like, Baymax didn't come out in the 90s.
I don't know.
What's going on with the lounge fly? Like, what kind of other merch did they have?
I get that. You know, what was interesting is we saw a lot of, like, Goofy movie stuff. There was also, for example, there was a reunion of the cast of Boy Meets World, and that was produced by Disney's television arm, Touchstone, back in the 1990s. And Jodie Benson was there, the voice of the Little Mermaid, and Linda Larkin. She was the speaking voice of Princess Jasmine in Aladdin, and they were there meeting with fans.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like so much fun. I'm so sorry I missed that. Like, that's incredible.
Well, now, here's the interesting part. The folks at 4 Entertainment, they're the team behind 90s Con and also Christmas Con. They've got another 90s Con scheduled. Well, it's actually in the works for later this year. It's going to be held down in Florida at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach, September 13th through the 15th. But you just got back from Florida. I don't think you want to go.
Okay, you know, but that does right? not mean that I would not go again. So in this show, we are going to discuss some of the amazing merch that I saw when I was wandering around Epcot, Magic Kingdom, in a moment. But first, we need to acknowledge our sponsor.
Indeed we do, Lauren. And today's episode of I Want That is brought to you by Touring Plans. And are you headed down to Disney or Universal anytime soon? With touringplans.com, you get personalized planning tools and insights into crowd patterns, which will then help you dodge the long lines and help you make the most of your time down in Central Florida. So save time, avoid the crowds, and make the most of your next Disney trip with touringplans.com. Okay, so now let's talk about your most recent trip down to Florida, which got underway, what, a week or so after this year's Flower and Garden got underway, right?
Yes, I think the festival started on the 28th, and we got down there like March 2nd. So just a few days after, and the 2024 version of Epcot's International Flower and Garden Festival, it really was a showstopper. We are about down there about, you know, every time this year. And I know because my little boy's birthday always falls around that time.
Good. How cool for Miles. Okay. So what'd you see?
Oh, Jeb, the creativity was through the roof. Aside from the stunning topiaries, and I mean, really, they were stunning. Like every year they take it up a notch. And the delectable food that you can get at the booths all around the world. But the Orange Bird merch, like, They went all in on Orange Bird, and it was everywhere, and it was spectacular, and I was in for it. I was in for it all. And I stumbled upon some hidden gems, too.
Okay, do tell.
All right, well, there was so much merch. Like, we could be here all day talking about it, but outside of Orange Bird, there was a very beautiful, classy butterfly line. It was really delightful. I mean, they had like a chic, like white straw hat. Like, you can picture that, right? Like, if you're into that kind of thing, they had, you know, appropriate garden stakes and, you know, a really cool stepping stone for your garden. They're all perfect for spring. And the oddest and most interesting find was the garden themed Flower and Garden branded butterfly salt and pepper shakers. But wait, there's more. And they were shaped like a trash can. Tiny little Flower and Garden trash cans. And so, burning question time, Jim. Seriously, what is up with Disney and all these trash can designs? Like, I think Eric, my husband, even has a collection of like Disney trash can Christmas ornaments. Weird, right?
No. Your husband has tapped into a genuinely interesting aspect of the Disney theme parks. I mean, think about it. Disney is always about the details, those things that allow a guest to think like, oh, you know, I'm back in the old West, or I'm strolling down a turn of the century Main Street. And one of the things that helps sell that idea is there's not just one generic look for the trash cans that are used in the theme park. You know, that depending on what part of the park you're in, the Imagineers buried the needle in the exact opposite direction. They went with period appropriate visual treatments that the graphics department at Walt Disney World created for trash cans in distinctly different areas of the park. So, and what was interesting is that a couple of years ago, the folks who work in merch at the Disney parks kind of decided, okay, this is something that's distinctly Disney, and let's see if people might buy something that sort of acknowledges this. So for the Disneyland Resort in California and the Walt Disney World parks in Florida, they did exactly what you described. They started with teeny tiny trash cans that were salt and pepper shakers, and then, you know, those sold, and so they went with Christmas ornaments, and then they went with earrings. And I have seen about the Mickey ears and the Minnie ears, and I have seen sets of ears that celebrate the trash can. So
I might need to get some like trashy earrings for myself. After this,
there's a conversation starter. But no, I mean, long story short, it's not the biggest product line at the Disney parks, but there are enough folks out there like your husband Eric, who collect these things to warrant it continuing.
And I mean, really, though, that's why we're doing this show, is to highlight some of these collector's items. So if you have a collection of like weird Disney merch, please let us know. We'd like to see it, maybe talk about it. But getting back to Epcot Flower and Garden Festival people and the merch. I can't go on without mentioning they had some annual pass holder exclusives. And the pass holder merch had Spike the Bee. I'm sure you know Spike, yep. Right? Yeah. And so one of the items really stuck out to me. And it's a Spike the Bee lug clutch lunchbox. And Jim, it was priced at $125. I like, honestly, at that price, I felt like I was stung by Spike himself. And they also, I do have to note, they did have a bigger hobo bag for only $10 more, but the lunchbox, holy moly.
Well, but here's the thing. Again, if you understand the Disney secondary market, that yes, there will be collectors who, $125. But, you know, if we a couple of years down the line, when that same bag is selling for $250 or, you know, $375 on the secondary market, we'll all look back at that and think, geez, you know, for the Flower and Garden of 2024, that was a honey of a deal. Okay, sorry, too many dad jokes. I'll go to my corner now. So, all right, let's talk more about Orange Bird.
Okay, Orange Bird enthusiasts, it might just be time for you to, like, splurge a little bit, treat yourself, and book a spontaneous trip to Disney. You've got to the end of May to experience all things Orange Bird at Epcot. For the Minnie ear lover in me, I was obsessed with the new Mickey head topiaries that were wearing, get this, Orange Bird ears. Oh my gosh, like Minnie ears. They were so cute. And they were right by the Mexico Pavilion, if you're heading that way. The ears are made of leather and have the Orange Bird pattern and bright orange bow with Orange Bird right in the middle, front and center. Funny enough, they are also Loungefly. You mentioned that brand earlier. Normally, they're known for backpacks, but now at this festival, they also had some ears. They're very cute. The Odyssey building has been totally transformed into a celebration of the beloved Orange Bird. It was reimagined as the Citrus Blossom. And here, festival goers can indulge in a variety of citrus-inspired treats, with the highlight being the highly sought-after Orange Bird Sipper Cup. And it's priced at $15, which I feel like is a pretty good deal. And I think you actually even get like a orange lemon smoothie included in that. So I'm telling you, the whole area where at one point they had showcasing the, you know, future of Epcot, that whole yep. area, everything Orange mm-hmm. Bird.
Okay. And just so people understand what we're talking about, the Odyssey building is in that corner between World Celebration and World Showcase. It's that white building that sits out on the pond between Test Track and the Mexico Pavilion. And Lauren, fun fact, the reason that you have to go to that place by way of bridges and that it seems to be way out there is that pond in front of you is one of the sinkholes that they found when they were building Epcot. It was like, no, quite seriously. That's why it's as far back as it is and why you have to walk over some very long bridges to get there, because there's at least one construction crane down in that hole.
Well, thanks for the fact and thanks for the tip. You know what we're talking about now. And now you also know where to find all the best Orange Bird merch. It's housed right there. So let's dive into some highlights. And I'm telling you, there was so much. So I got to keep this condensed.
Okay, so if we're condensing, where do we even begin? I mean, a lot of stuff to choose from this year, right?
Well, Jeremy, you know I have to start with the mini ears. Like I said, this year there are Loungefly Orange Bird mini ears, the headband, and they are covered with the adorable images of Orange Bird. They look just like the ones that are on the Minnie Mouse Mickey Head topiaries by the Mexico Pavilion I mentioned earlier. And this time they are lined inside with like some velour for extra comfort, because if you listen to last show, I said how how sometimes the Disney ears, they squeeze your brains out just a little bit.
Okay, cool. I headbands, the ears. Wait, no backpacks?
Oh, wait. I'm getting there. The mini backpack version has the same vibrant pattern as the headbands, with orange bird peeking out from the front pocket. It is perfect for storing all your festival essentials, maybe a water bottle, like an old Mickey pretzel, who knows? Very, very cute.
And I know from you talking on previous shows, you love a spirit jersey. So did you find any?
Oh, heck yes. This one was exceptionally nice, and I do love a spirit jersey. This one is light green tie-dye style pattern featuring a picture of spaceship Earth as in orange on the front breast of the top with a little white flower at the top of it. Like, so you can clearly see that it is spaceship Earth as in orange. And the back says the original Florida orange bird. It's in a vibrant orange and green lettering. I also thought that their new reversible plush was pretty interesting. You could turn orange bird inside out to reveal a spaceship Earth patterned orange fruit. And it's a very clever design. Interesting, but clever nonetheless.
Does the ASPCA know about this? I mean, look, I'm the guy who handles cooking the Thanksgiving turkey here at the house. So I have experience when it comes to reaching into a bird and then pulling out a neck bone and giblets. But an entire spaceship Earth, that sounds painful. Maybe we might want to give poor little Orange Bird a couple of Tylenol after an ordeal out of that. You know, have him maybe wash it down with a mug of fresh OJ.
And speaking of fresh OJ, there was also an Orange Bird juicer mug. And to be honest, this one had me like a little bit confused for a minute. But once I figured out what it was and that it was actually a juicer, I could really appreciate the functionality, like getting a little bit more out of that Disney purchase.
Wow. Okay. Sounds like this year, at Flower and Garden, they really did go all in on Orange Bird.
Oh, yeah, they really did. There was so much more that we just don't have time to cover on the show today, but they had magic bands, they had Pandora charms, phone cases, like you name it, and you could get it with an Orange Bird on it. To see the full offerings, I just suggest going over to Shop Disney. But before you do, make sure to listen to the end of this week's show, which is when Mr. Hill is going to reveal the origin story of Orange Bird. But first, this. And we're back. And I know we promised that Mr. Hill would talk about how the Orange Bird came to make his home at the Walt Disney World Resort in Central Florida. But before we do that, I thought we'd first touch on another piece of bird-related merch, and that is Chubby, which I just got an education about the name, Chubby popcorn bucket that is available for sale out in Anaheim at Disneyland Park starting on March 19th.
And for those of you who don't know who Chubby is, he's that cute little fat songbird who plays a supporting role in Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yeah, Chubby, not Chubby, right? Like I always said Chubby.
Well, but here's the thing. Okay, Chubby, like myself, is a little on the plump side. And to hear Kevin Rafferty talk.
And that is who?
Oh, I'm sorry. Kevin is the veteran Imagineer who designed Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Anyway, to hear Mr. Rafferty tell the story, this cute little songbird was deliberately designed to be Chubby. And for a time, that really was this character's name, you know, Chirpy Chubby. But then they go to make a list of, you know, the various scenes that they have to do animation for and the scenes that they have to build figures for. And somewhere along the line, the character listing, there was a misspelling. And so, you know, there was a typo. And so where it should have said Chubby, it said Chubby. And Kevin's looking at this list and he goes, you know, Chubby is actually a more endearing, more memorable name than Chubby. So Chubby stuck.
And FYI, there's a reason that this bird-shaped popcorn bucket is going on sale on March 19th. And that is because this is the one-year anniversary of the grand reopening of Mickey's Toontown at Disneyland Park. Prior to that, this part of the park had spent a year or more behind construction fences being reimagined.
And just a reminder, over on Patreon, you'll find the two-part Disney Unpacked where Jim Shule then walks us through how Mickey's birthday land in Orlando eventually led to the creation of the original version of Mickey's Toontown out in California.
And Mr. Shule, he was the lead designer on the original Toontown project, right?
Indeed he was. And Jim shared all sorts of great stories with us about the development of what was originally supposed to be called Mickeyland, by the way. And, for example, one of the stories that Mr. Shule shares is how once upon a time, Mickey's next-door neighbor wasn't Roger Rabbit. It was actually Winnie the Pooh.
Right. And Jim, for those of you who missed it, you can catch that full episode over on patreon.com/JimHillMedia or check out the abbreviated version on Disney Unpacked YouTube channel. And since we were just talking up the Mickey's Toontown that's out in Anaheim, I'd like to now mention something else Californian that's really quite unique. And that is the Madly Mischievous line by senior character art manager Lewis Whitman, which is like, honestly, anything, it's unlike anything I've ever seen coming out of the Disney parks before.
Can you please describe some of the zany items that Lewis designed? Because there's one in here that me personally, I especially love.
Yeah, of course. So I saw these in person and I started taking pictures. I'm like, oh, I have to show this to Jim. This is just too great. And so we're down at the parks and they were like, they kept popping up at a lot of the different stores that we were going into. So some of the standouts were, we've got Chip and Dale as garden gnomes. Chip has a big white fluffy beard and it looks like Dale is fishing. And then you have to see the Hercules Madly Mischievous bust statue. It features the Olympian demigod as a classically sculpted bust on a Greek pedestal. But thanks to Hades' henchmen, Pain and Panic, it's been vandalized, giving Hercules a Madly Mischievous makeover. And Jim, this thing is $79.99. There is a buyer for everything because when I was looking at this online, it was actually sold out on Shop Disney, which was incredible to me. And there was one item that I just have to ask you about because it really left me scratching my head. Who in the world is this purple witch with sprouts coming out of her head? If you are listening to this as a podcast, please go over to Jim Hill Media on YouTube so that you can see this witch with sprouts coming out of her head. Who is this?
Okay, now come on. You're kidding me. You don't know who the magnificent, marvelous Mad Madam Mim is? Oh. You know, from Sword in the Stone, that's the feature-length animated film that Disney released back in December of 63. Now, mind you, when that film, it went out into theaters just a month after President Kennedy was assassinated. And so, all right, it debuted under a cloud and it never quite connected with audiences the way that Walt hoped it would. But then again, Sword in the Stone has the Wizard's Battle. You want to see this scene, folks? You go over to Disney Plus, and Sword in the Stone's relatively short film. It's an hour and 20 minutes in, and literally at the 1 hour mark, Mad Madam Mim enters the movie. She's only in it for 10 minutes, but it's so hugely entertaining because what happens is that in this part of the movie, Merlin the Magician and Mad Madam Mim square off. And, well, they do battle by changing themselves into all sorts of different animals. And, Lauren, I will tell you, I have had modern animation masters, people like John Lasseter, Glenn Keane, Andreas Deja, who have flat out told me it was this scene in this specific movie, the one with Madman and Mim, the Wizards Battle, that made them decide that that's what they wanted to do when they grew up, that they wanted to become an animator at Disney and tackle a truly crazy over-the-top scene just like this. And by the way, Disney Sword of the Stone was the very first movie I ever saw in a theater when I was a kid. I was four. And just like John and Glenn and Andreas, I was dazzled by the Wizard Battle, which is why as soon as we finish off here, I'm going to Shop Disney and I'm getting myself a planner. Because again, Madman and Mim, there's finally Madman and Mim merch.
Well, Jim, like, I don't know if I should feel like there are people that are with me or if I'm going to get, like, some virtual tomatoes thrown at me, but I will have to check it out. And I know that Lewis Whitman's Madly Mischievous line features things like a really cute Stitch bell jar light and a Cheshire Cat trinket holder. Like, you really, really need to check this stuff out. Like, it's really cool. They do have a limited selection on Shop Disney and a more extended line, I believe, in the theme parks.
Cool, cool. Like I said, I'll head there as soon as we're done here.
All right. So, as you promised, a while back, Mr. Hill was going to talk about Orange Bird and how this citrus-shaped creature wound up in the Disney theme park. So enlighten us, Jim.
Okay, so in order to do this properly, I have to share a story from the June 1971 edition of the Walt Disney World Construction News. Now, Lauren, this was a newsletter that was distributed monthly to the 5,000 men and women who were working on site to change that 40 square miles of swampland in Central Florida into a vacation wonderland. Now, the idea behind this newsletter is Disney corporate, the guys back in Burbank thought that, you know, if the construction workers are emotionally invested in Project Florida, they might work harder, and which might then ensure that Walt Disney World would actually meet its previously announced October 71 opening day. So
the construction newsletter was originally published June of 71. So we're 4 months out from opening at this point.
We are. And so, okay, here we go. This is our grabber of a headline. Walt Disney World provides unique showcase for industry.
Ugh. Okay, like, let's just get to the part about Orange Bird.
All right, hang in there. It's a kind of a lengthy runway, but this story does pay off. Okay, I promise you. Okay, article goes on to say that more than a vacation and entertainment center, Walt Disney World will also be a major showcase for American business and industry. Many of the nation's most respected corporations, whose brand names are household words throughout the nation, will provide extra enjoyment for the millions of guests by sponsoring attractions and services.
Okay, so if I was a construction worker at Walt Disney World, I would have stopped reading about like 3 minutes ago.
I understand. Okay, we're almost at the good part. Hang in there. Okay. Article goes on to say, it is expected that between 20 to 25 major American companies will be participants in the Vacation Kingdom. Members of the Walt Disney World team will include Borden, Coca-Cola, Eastern Airlines, Florida Citrus Growers, Frito-Lay, GAF, Gulf Oil, Hallmark, Calcan Foods, Monsanto, Oscar Mayer, Pepsi-Cola, Smuts, Welch's, and others to be announced later.
You said there was a good part. When are we getting there?
Okay. Almost there. Okay, here we go. Participating companies use their association with Disney plus the creative and imaginative Disney talents to assist in marketing and promotion of the company name, their products and services. So here we go, Lauren. One of the first to sign a contract to participate in Walt Disney World was the Florida Citrus Growers, who have a major attraction in the Magic Kingdom theme park, the Sunshine Pavilion. Similar to the Enchanted Tiki Room at Disneyland, it will present a musical luau starring the Enchanted Birds of the Sunshine State. There will be a unique Sunshine Tree Terraced refreshment location in conjunction with the attraction, and Florida citrus fruits and juices will be served throughout the Magic Kingdom. Now, as a reward for being the first to sign up in Project Florida, the Imagineers have designed a new, brand new character, Orange Bird. And Orange Bird is an example of a joint marketing effort between Walt Disney World and industrial participants. And the Orange Bird was created by Wen Enterprises for the Florida citrus growers to use in promotional campaigns.
Okay, so wait a minute, like back the truck up. Are you saying that Orange Bird only exists today? This beloved figure at the park, this character that is celebrated in all sorts of merch because Florida citrus growers were the first to sign up to be a part of the Disney World project.
Hey, that's what it says in the July 71 edition of the Walt Disney World Construction News. So who are you going to trust?
But what if, let's just say, the Citrus Florida Septic Pumping Association had beaten the citrus growers to the punch?
I don't know, but that probably would have been one walk-around character for the park that I think, anyway, you probably wouldn't want to have your picture taken with or maybe get a hug from.
Or be anywhere around in the Florida heat. Yuck. Enough, Mr. Hill. Let's go.
There we go. Okay, I stand corrected.
Okay, and on that odorous note, maybe, we'll come to a close of another edition of I Want That Too. But before we sign off, let's give our listeners a little sneak peek into what's coming up in our next show.
Oh, absolutely. On our next episode of I Want That Too, we'll be diving into the fascinating history of how tiki merch became such a fan favorite at the Disney parks.
Oh, yeah. I love the little tiki guys. And I am absolutely certain we have a stash of them, too, next to our little garbage can ornaments somewhere in our house. It is going to be such a fun topic to explore. I can't wait. And speaking of fun content, what else are you guys cooking up over at the Jim Hill Media Network?
Well, Brian Gunn and I will be recording a brand new episode of Looking at Lucasfilm some point later this week. Likewise, Jim Shule and I are already at work on season 2 of Disney Unpacked. In fact, we're doing way too much research on Dumbo right now. But speaking of Disney Unpacked, next month's suite of shows will celebrate Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger spin and all of the many, many variations of that ride-through shooter that you can find at Disney parks around the world.
And you forgot to mention the show that we just recorded, which is super cool. You are not going to want to miss next Sunday, I believe, Picture This drops.
Oh, and God, you're right. Yep,
my mistake. Yeah, and Picture This is a new show. It's a new video show that Jim Hill and I are doing with Jim Shule, where he walks us through some photos that are from his personal collection or that he's had access to. And these photos, you will never see them in the same way again once he explains what you're looking at. I mean, this show that we just recorded is all about concept art and Discovery Mountain. Like, it's really cool. You don't want to miss it. That's also over on Patreon. And, you know, can't forget, we do want to hear from our listeners or viewers if you're watching us on YouTube. Like I said before, do you have any interesting Disney collections or stories to share? We want to hear from you. You can find me at lauren@laurenhersey.com, or you can find Jim at jim@jimhillmedia.com, and send us a message, find us on social media. We want to hear from you.
That we do. Okay, folks. That's going to do it for today. So for the lovely Lauren Hersey, this is Jim Hill, and thanks for listening to I Want That Too.